Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Polygamists in Paris, a platypus in New York, and an octet of the innocent in Watertown. It's July 1922.
100 years from today.
Your world news update on France's national holiday, Bastille Day. A young, recently imprisoned anarchist, Gustave Bouvet, attempted to assassinate the country's president. After reviewing a military parade, Alexandre Milleron was returning in procession to the Élysée Palace. Monsieur Bouvet fired 3 shots at a motor car he thought to be carrying the president. In fact, Monsieur Milleron was behind the automobile in an open carriage with an Algerian cavalry guard. A bystander grabbed Monsieur Bouvet's gun arm while others in the crowd attacked him until policemen on bicycles arrived and took him away.
Every morning, every evening, ain't we got fun? Not much money, oh, but money.
Not much money and not much fun when your property gets seized by the Bolsheviks. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. At the Hague Economic Conference, the Allies and neutral nations informed Russia that it had to accept the principle of restitution for the nationalization of property. The Reds responded by walking out, and the Hague talks are now at an end.
In the winter, in the summer, don't we have fun? Times are bum and getting bummer. Will we have fun?
Not much money in Germany either. Berlin has formally requested the Allied Reparations Commission to extend the moratorium on German reparations payments through to the end of 1924. That's a long way away. In Italy, various municipal governments led by communists have been forced to resign following the occupation of their towns and villages by the fascists. The operation was led by Roberto Farinacci, a prominent fascist who is said to regard his leader, Benito Mussolini, as too liberal. Signor Farinacci is a firm believer in the efficacy of castor oil, which he forces down the throats of communist officials, causing them to be convulsed by severe diarrhea, and thus making sudden resignation and early retirement more appealing. Communists may be out in Italy, but they're in Japan. In Tokyo, 3 leading former anarchists have come together to found the Japanese Communist Party. In Turkey, Mustafa Fezzi has resigned as Prime Minister and been replaced by Rauf Bey, the man who signed the armistice with Admiral Sir Somerset Gough Calthorpe, ending Ottoman participation in the World War. The Conference of Ambassadors of the Principal Allied and Associated Powers is the successor to the Supreme War Council. It has decided to recognize as a sovereign nation the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes. The Estonian government has proclaimed the blue, black, and white tricolor as the country's official national flag. The blue represents the blue sky above the native land. The black represents the soil of the homeland, plus the dark fate that has often befallen Estonians. And the white represents the purity and commitment to hard work of the Estonian people.
Wonder will they know me down in old Ahomey. When I went away that summer day, Mammy wrote to say, you took the sunshine with you, honey, home. Oh, how I miss you. The love you gave me was divine. Wonder will they know me in the homey, dear old home of mine.
Wonder will they know me in Dahomey? It's not clear many Parisians know who the 27 African leaders that their government is currently making such a fuss over are. The muscular black men, all over 6 feet tall and bearing spears, are described as royal potentates from France's various colonies and protectorates in the Sudan, Senegal, Mauritania, the Ivory and Guinea coasts, and of course, Dahomey. Whether or not they'd know them in Dahomey, the French public is suddenly finding it hard to keep track of all the leaders' ladies. King Baloum Naha of Togo, King Adaji Abdoukana of Senegal, and the 25 others have all arrived in Paris with 2 to 5 wives apiece, making dinner seating at the Elysee somewhat complicated. From the Hebrew word for dry, is a vast desert area stretching down to the Gulf of Aqaba and formerly part of the Ottoman Empire. St. John Philby, an English administrator known locally as Sheikh Abdullah, has now decided it should be incorporated within the British Mandate of Palestine. With less than 6 months to go till the inauguration of the Irish Free State, the Chief of Staff of the anti-Free State Irish Republican Army, Frank Aiken, has been arrested by Free State forces and imprisoned at Dundalk Jail with 200 of his men. A few miles north, and rather less dramatically, there are signs that the partition of John Bull's other island is becoming permanent. Ulster solicitors, who previously belonged to the Law Society of Ireland, will now have their affairs regulated by a new body, the Law Society of Northern Ireland. One question that Irish nationalists are pondering is this: is a British dominion a sovereign nation? It has no foreign embassies and its external relations are conducted by His Majesty's government in London. And yet, while visiting the White House as the guest of President Harding, the Canadian Prime Minister, Mr. Mackenzie King, has proposed revisions to the Rush-Bagot Treaty, a British-American agreement made after the War of 1812 to demilitarize the Great Lakes and Lake Champlain. You'd almost get the impression that Mr. King is conducting his own foreign policy quite separate from Great Britain's.
Angel child, oh baby, I'm just wild about you. Angel child, sweet mama, say that you love me too. In your arms forever I stay. You drive away shadows of gray. When you smile, oh Henrietta, I'm in heaven, it's true. But lonesome, ain't got a soul. I'm just putting in miles when I say that I'm wild about you.
There are 8 new angel children in heaven, all from Watertown, New York, aged between 12 and 15. They were killed by the explosion of a 3-inch diameter artillery shell. It is believed that one of the boys, Anson Workman, found the live shell on the Pine Plains Army Reservation, where it had been fired last year during exercises by the U.S. Army's 106th Heavy Artillery Regiment. Young Master Workman thought it cute and took the shell back to his home on Dimmock Street. The other children were playing croquet and decided it would be more fun to use the shell. Police concluded that the explosion occurred when one of the boys pounded directly on it with his croquet mallet. Also in the United States, President Warren Harding has intervened in the nationwide railroad strike and issued a proclamation directing railroad employees, quote, to refrain from all interference with the lawful efforts to maintain interstate transportation and the carrying of the United States mails.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio. If you want to reach your heart's desire, you won't have to send her word by wire. You snap by her, love her by radio.
You will soon be able to love her by radio in Montana. The land of the Shining Mountains has its first licensed radio station, KFBB, out of Great Falls, which will go on air next month. Have you seen In the Name of the Law? It's not only the first screen drama to take a policeman's lot seriously, as opposed to rendering him as a stock comic buffoon. It's also the most ballyhooed motion picture ever, with police departments across America dispatching their officers to engage in promotional stunts for the new flicker. All that publicity is paid off. In New York, they've converted the George M. Cohan Theater from a legit house into a picture palace and booked In the Name of the Law not just for a week, but for a whole month.
Hello, Central. Give me no man's land. My daddy's there. My mama told me. She tiptoed off the bed after my prayers were said. Don't ring when you get the number, or you'll disturb mama's slumber. I'm afraid to stand here at the phone, 'cause I'm alone. So won't you hurry? I wanna know why mama starts to weep when I say now I lay me down to sleep. Hello, Central. Give me no man's land.
Hello, Central. Give me no man's land. But maybe Central itself is becoming a no man's and no woman's land. The first fully automated telephone exchange in the British Isles has just been installed in the English town of Fleetwood in Lancashire. It uses a relay system that does away with the need for a switchboard operator. Hello, Central. Anybody there? The new amphitheatre in Hollywood, California has put on a few community events in the last few months, but it has now presented officially its inaugural concert by the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. The Hollywood Bowl is so called because it sits in a naturally concave hillside in Bolton Canyon, especially chosen by the developer William Reed for its excellent natural acoustics. They were much in evidence for the first of the Philharmonic summer concerts, conducted by Alfred Hertz and with Wagner, Tchaikovsky, Brahms, Grieg, and Fritz Kreisler, on a very crowd-pleasing bill, concluding with Rossini. Would you like a loan? The Bank of England has reduced the interest rate on loans to the pre-war figure. That's just 3% per annum. In sports news, Gerald Patterson of Australia is the new gentleman singles champion at Wimbledon. He defeated Randolph Lycett of Great Britain in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4, 6-2. At Skokie Country Club in Glencoe, Illinois, 20-year-old Gene Sarazen of Pittsburgh has won the U.S. Open Golf Tournament. He has returned to Pittsburgh, and he celebrated his victory at the William Penn Hotel by bursting out to delighted friends and fans from a giant papier-mâché golf ball. In boxing, Joe Lynch has regained his world bantamweight title with a knockout left hook 6 seconds into the 14th round against Johnny Buff at the Velodrome in New York. If it's any consolation to Mr. Buff, he made more money from the fight than the champ did. His manager had negotiated a payment of $30,000 for losing, whereas Mr. Lynch was on a share of the house receipts, and they amounted to a very disappointing $20,000. 15 years after his first victory in 1907, Felice Nazzaro has won his second French Grand Prix, but it was a bittersweet triumph for Signor Nazzaro and Fiat over the newcomer Bugatti. The rain over Strasbourg turned the circuit to mud, and the mud broke the axle of another Fiat being driven by Nazzaro's nephew Biagio. Biagio's car hit a tree, and he and his mechanic were both killed.
I love the ladies.
Yes?
I love the ladies.
Where do you go in summertime?
Why, I go in swimming.
And take the women?
Oh, yes, I have them waiting in line.
When you go swimming, you'll have the women waiting in line if you can do 100 meters in under a minute. But hang on, that's not possible, is it? Oh, yes, it is. The first man on Earth to do it in just 58.6 seconds is the 18-year-old swimmer Johnny Weissmuller. Young Weissmuller was born in Freidorf in the Kingdom of Hungary, but then moved across the Atlantic to Pennsylvania. He didn't swim that one, if you're wondering. 2 months ago, we reported that Messrs. Ellis, Joseph and Henry Burrell had set off from Australia to bring 5 platypuses, or platypi, to America. No need for the plural now. Their ship landed at San Francisco at the end of June, by which time 4 of the 5 creatures were dead. The lone survivor has now been successfully transported cross-country and received by the New York Zoo. He is the first and only platypus in the United States. Are you familiar with the Australasian bent-wing bat? Doubtful. It's only just been discovered by the English naturalist Oriana Wilson, widow of Edward Wilson, the polar explorer who died with Captain Scott in the Antarctic. Mrs. Wilson caught the hitherto unknown Australasian bentwing bat near the port of Darwin. Zoologists are now proposing the new species be named after her. 2 days after it departed London for Algiers, the British cargo ship, the SS El Cahira, has sunk in a storm. All 29 people aboard are dead, and the lack of even a solitary survivor has prompted calls for an official investigation. Champagne Hans was his name. Hans Irvin was a shrewd businessman who became a top Australian winemaker and the country's leading producer of very creditable champagne-like bubbly. The vigneron's life can take its toll. Mr. Irvin was in London seeking treatment for his gastric ulcer. He is dead at 65. George Washington Steele served under General Sherman on his famous March to the Sea and subsequently was appointed the first governor of Oklahoma Territory. He was instrumental in founding the state's public school system and its 2 great centers of learning, the University of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State University. However, he vetoed bills to move the capital to Oklahoma City or Kingfisher and insisted it remain at Guthrie as it did until the territory became a state. George Washington Steele is dead at 82. John Moresby was a Royal Navy officer who explored the coast of New Guinea and in an effort to discover a shorter route between China and Australia found the China Strait. In 1873 he sailed through the eastern end of the Coral Sea in New Guinea, saw 3 unknown islands, never before glimpsed by a white man, and claimed them for Queen Victoria, naming the 2 most prominent harbours for his father, Admiral Sir Fairfax Moresby. Thus, Fairfax Harbour and Port Moresby. Port Moresby is now the capital of Papua and generally assumed to be named for John Moresby. Rear Admiral Moresby is dead at 92. And that's the way of the world, July 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. All rights reserved.